Hey, thanks for listening to Car Talk. You know, there's a really interesting episode of Planet Money you might want to check out. It's all about that stuff in your gas tank. No, not the 5 pounds of sugar your ex dumped in there, the gasoline. In their typical creative way to tell this story, Planet Money has actually gone into the oil business. And you thought your money went into tote bags, huh? The Planet Money team is actually buying crude oil on the oil market and then following it step by step all the way to your 93 Pontiac Aztec. It's really worth a listen. Planet Money, this week on NPR One. Find NPR O-N-E on your app store. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Take That division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, we are. I mean, this is not a joke. This is not anything that's funny, necessarily. Some people might find it funny. It's just news.
Why do I know that you're going to find it funny?
Well, somebody will find it funny. Headline, 1,000-year-old giant sequoia falls. Sequoia National Park, California, Associated Press.
Serious.
A 200-foot-tall giant sequoia tree, thought to be 1,000 years old, fell along Sequoia National Park's main road, crushing a vehicle into a pile of crumpled metal. No one was injured, but the Jeep Grand Cherokee was completely destroyed.
Oh, might be flat as a pancake.
Flat as a pancake. The vehicle's owner had driven to California from Florida. He said they had hiked to a waterfall close by. They heard this huge crash, almost like a sonic boom, and they saw the top of a tree going over. They didn't put it together until they got back and saw that it had fallen on their car. He said, "We're all interested to see if the insurance company treats this as an act of God."
And if it is an act of God, what happens? They don't pay?
Act of God? What is that all about? I mean, what about, what if you're an atheist? Everything's covered. You go to, when they say, "I'm sorry, that's not covered, it's an act of God," I said, "There's no God." You owe me $7,500.
I hope they had a good laugh when they saw their car.
That's what I hope, too.
Because I want to tell you, that's the way I felt the day that car fell off the lift at the garage. And I don't know, I don't even remember to whom it belonged.
Yeah.
But I was giddy when it was all over. And there it was, lying on its side with every fluid imaginable leaking from it. And I was standing next to it going,
yeah.
Happy that I wasn't under there. And these people should have been happy that they weren't
that
in
they
there.
Weren't, they could have just pulled up and been ready to get out of the car, and the tree then could have fallen on them. That would have been horrible.
Well, and it is, by the way, an act of God. It was no accident that a tree killed an SUV.
No. I don't want to put any editorial comment.
You don't want to go there?
No. I mean, you can say whatever you want.
I didn't really mean to say that, but I did anyway.
I mean, the fact that it happened to be an SUV isn't bad.
Well, I'm glad they're all right. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or your tree or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name's Nicole, and I'm calling from Olympia, Washington.
Nicole.
Yes.
Olympia.
Yes.
Is that still the capital?
Yes, that's the capital.
Just testing you. I wanted to see if you're a real Washingtonian.
Oh, I am a Washingtonian. I'm all wet.
Do you have a nickname?
Nikki.
Yeah. Okay,
is that with two K's?
Yes. Okay. KKI, two I's.
And two I's, both together.
Anyways, go ahead.
I have an 89 Jeep Wagoneer, and often, not always, but only when I start the car does it not start. And it turns over, it goes, but it doesn't start. And my husband thinks I should start the car with rubber gloves for a week.
Oh, he thinks that you're somehow...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not
interfering with the electrical
electricity. Something, but I
don't, really?
I can't go around with rubber gloves.
Do you glow in the dark? I mean, does he have any foundation for this belief?
Well, because it only happens when I start the car. It always starts for him.
Now, you say when you turn the key.
Yeah, I turn the key, it goes.
Well, is it different from the times when it starts for you? Does it go when it starts and when it doesn't?
In other words, is it cranking slower?
No.
No, it cranks normally?
Yeah, it cranks normally, but it just doesn't have the gusto. It doesn't start it. But listen to this.
Really?
It's kind of added mystery to the whole thing.
Yeah, there's got to be more to the story, yeah. I hope.
Oh, well, otherwise we have no answer.
Every time it happens, I'm usually at the grocery store or somewhere. So I have my jumper cables, and I ask somebody to give me a jump, and it always starts.
Ah.
And my battery and my alternator is fine. I had it checked out.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
now,
right.
Wait a minute. I think you've left out something here. You said it only happens when you try to start the car, but
yes.
Do you ever try to start the car first thing in the morning when it's been sitting in the driveway all night?
And it starts right up.
And it doesn't start.
No, not always. It happened to me once where I went in, it was cold,
yeah.
And I started it, although my husband had been driving it earlier that morning. So maybe it wasn't cold.
Well, let's ask this important question.
Okay.
What percentage of the time do you drive the car?
All the time, 98%.
Well, that's why it never happens to him. He's never in it.
And when he does drive the car, when does he drive it? Under what circumstances would he? This is basically your car.
Okay, late in the afternoon, I guess.
So if he were to ever use the car, he would use it late in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
After you've been using it all day.
Yeah, usually.
Correct? Usually.
Yeah.
And whenever he gets in it, it always starts.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other 98% of the time that you're driving the car, what percentage of those times does it not start for you?
For me,
13. One time out of 10?
13%.
13%, it does not start.
Okay, it happens like...
You know, is that 13% of the 98% or 13%
yeah.
of 100%?
Okay, I'm going to say 23% of the 98%.
23%, it
yeah.
starts.
23% of the 98. Oh, that's like baseball
no,
being...
No, it doesn't start.
It doesn't start.
It doesn't start. There.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, let's... One more thing. When it doesn't start...
Yeah.
Of the 23% of the 98%.
Yes.
How many times does it not start when it hasn't run at all that day yet, as opposed to it has been running off and on during
okay,
the day?
Okay, probably half of that. So.
Oh, it's half and half.
Yeah.
Here's my last question. When you said that you know there's nothing wrong with your battery or your alternator
yes.
because
yes.
they've been checked.
Yes.
Who checked them, and if you know, how did they check them?
This woman with a machine checked it in the parking lot, and she hooked it up, and it read some numbers to her. And she said, ooh, good battery. Ooh, good alternator.
So. Ooh.
Voltmeter.
What?
Yeah. Well,
probably.
What did the, how big was the machine?
Oh, she rolled it out. It was a cart. On a cart, you know.
Oh, this was a repair shop.
No.
She happened to have this in the back of her car?
It was an auto supply place.
Ah, okay.
And they tested the battery because I thought it was a battery because it starts when it gets jumped.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think you may be right that, in fact, it is the battery.
I think you may be right.
And I think
right.
her test may have been bogus.
Yeah.
Bogus.
That's what that, and thus my question, who tested it and how did they test it?
Well, we know how. We know who.
We know who. And we don't believe it.
We don't believe it is right.
We think she came to the wrong conclusion.
It is possible for batteries to test good when they're not.
True.
It is possible. It is also possible that you have some kind of a current drain that is running the battery down. That would explain why when you've run the thing all day long mm-hmm. and then your husband gets in it late in the afternoon, it starts right up for him.
Because it's all charged up.
You've had a chance to recharge this battery. When it sits overnight and you go out to start it, it barely starts.
Mm-hmm.
You drive the thing a short distance, shut it off, and it might barely start or not start again. Because you've used up a lot of the current from the battery and haven't had an opportunity for the charging system, which you may have correctly determined is producing enough electricity, it may not be charging it up enough to restart it on a hot start.
How do I find out if it's getting drained electrically?
You take it back to her
uh-huh.
and ask her to test it for a current drain and to retest the battery and to retest the charging system and make sure the belt is tight enough and all that. You need another test.
Yeah. What belt?
The belt that runs the alternator.
Some squeaking. Could that be it?
Sonia Henny's tutu. Yes, you could have something as simple as a loose belt,
yeah,
which is preventing the alternator from charging the battery sufficiently.
Oh, I think that's it.
That would be nice, because that would be cheap.
Okay.
But you want to make sure that whoever tests this does a load test on the battery.
And also tests the current and voltage output of the alternator.
Right. I mean, I suspected that when she put this little box, whatever it
was. No, she wheeled it out.
She wheeled it out, but she may have only been looking at voltage.
Oh.
And a battery can have 12 volts and be pretty dead.
Go back and suggest that she retest it, and also make sure you test that belt to see if it's tight enough. The problem could all be a loose belt.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Good luck, Nikki.
Thanks.
See ya.
Thanks for
bye
calling.
Bye. Wear the gloves.
Wear the gloves.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim Davis. I'm calling from the chemical laboratories in the basement, the sub-basement of Car Talk Plaza.
Jim, baby!
Professor Jim!
How you doing, guys?
Professor Jim Davis, we have to tell some of the people who may not know, is the official Car Talk chemist. And he moonlights by occasionally teaching at what is that little school up the street there?
WGU, World's Greatest University.
World's Greatest University, otherwise known as Harvard.
Right.
Harvard.
Or should I say Harvard?
Harvard. We are fighting fiercely. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So what do you want, Jim? Your car broke down again?
I understand that somebody called in last week and wanted to talk about distilled water versus tap water for radiators.
Yes.
And also that Ray came up with some fascinating new theory of hungry water that I'd like to hear about.
I can tell. No, I didn't come up with this.
Let's go back to the call. The call was from a guy who wanted to know, should I put distilled water in my radiator instead of tap water? I said, gee, I don't see how it could hurt.
Sounds like a jolly good idea.
Sounds like a good idea to me. My brother immediately leaps in and says, ah! He said, we got a letter or something from someone a long time ago that said distilled water is hungry water. It's distilled because it doesn't have any minerals in it, and so it's looking for minerals. It wants them, and it's hungry water,
and it's pulling.
So it's going to suck. It's going to suck the steel right out of the block.
There you go.
Well, let's see if we can sort this out here. I don't think distilled water could hurt a radiator, but I also don't think it makes much difference in a modern radiator. Now, if you had one of these old jobs that blows steam all the time and you constantly have to refill it, Well, you would have a problem with mineral buildup from tap water. But if you've got a modern radiator that's fairly well sealed and seldom, if ever, needs to have to be topped off with tap water, Then it really is not going to make much difference.
Don't forget, it's not just in contact with the metal of the radiator, but it's also in contact with the engine.
Right.
With the cast iron and the aluminum.
Yeah. But now, in a radiator, you don't just have water, do you? Don't you also put coolant, which contains antioxidants precisely to prevent that from happening?
Yes, you do.
And that process is going to happen or not happen without regard to whether the water is distilled or tap water. But I tell you about this other thing, the hungry water business.
Jim, it sounded so good. And I'm disappointed that you're not on my side.
Well, we'll look into that. We'll get a research grant and try to make some progress there. But in order for minerals to get dissolved, or in order for the metal itself to get into the water, it would have to be oxidized. And once again, that's where your antioxidants are supposed to prevent it.
Yeah. But as the antifreeze wears out and it becomes less oxidized.
Yeah, well, you do have to drain it and refresh it periodically, don't you?
Well, yeah, yes, you do. Yeah. You do.
But what if you did not change it? The question is, would the distilled water be more likely to dissolve the block?
Right. What if there were no antifreeze? What if you had just plain old distilled water?
Well, both distilled water and tap water would very quickly start rusting the innards of your radiator and whatever else.
But would the distilled water do it faster because it has more room?
No, not really.
It's more hungry.
It really depends on the... It really depends on the oxidation.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Jim.
Yeah. So, I mean, have you ever heard the expression hungry water before, Jim?
No, I've heard of heavy water.
I've heard of that, too.
And poly water, which turned out to be absolute nonsense. But hungry water, I got to go back to the lab.
We can do that.
Well, I wish you'd give this a little more thought.
No, but, I mean, Jim,
let's to the lab then.
I mean, this is another one of those theories. Now, I will admit that in this case, my brother did not invent the theory.
Right.
But my brother is somewhat famous for presenting theories which sound so good.
Well, I'll tell you the letter we
and
received.
And in the ultimate analysis are complete bull feathers.
Well, the letter sounded so authoritative.
No, I mean, we have no evidence that there ever was a letter.
Well,
I mean, well,
it wasn't a letter in the traditional sense. I mean, like pen on paper.
Was it like a dream?
It was like a dream sequence. But it sounded so good that Jim could have even been the theoretician himself.
Well, I mean, it was interesting enough that we had to resort to Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim?
Well, I thank you for the reference.
Well,
I do appreciate
Jim,
it.
Thank you a million times.
Even though you didn't corroborate what I feel strongly about, I still admire your courage and your honesty.
You're most welcome.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you later.
Hungry water, my foot.
You got to admit. Sure. Now you're encouraged by Jim's testimony. You weren't so quick to indict me last week.
I was not. I absolutely not. Because why? It sounded so good.
And the truth is, that's all it's going to do is sound good. It doesn't really have to be true. Well, most things can't be proven.
I mean,
and if it sounds good, it's good enough.
Pons and Fleischmann.
They sounded good, they may yet be good.
They may.
Don't count
them
out.
Still getting money. Don't forget. That's all that really.
That's
matters.
All that really counts. All right. Look. It's time for us to take a short break.
Right. I can see the gauge on your forehead. It's reading hot. So it must be time to add some coolant to you.
We'll be back in a minute. State lines and roadside dives for 2 weeks now. You think I might have known better than heading out in this weather again. State lines and roadside.
And even though Mr. Potato Head wishes some kind child would pull his ears off whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from LearnVest. LearnVest is an online financial advice company focused on empowering people nationwide to make smart decisions with their money. If you want to know how aggressively to pay down your student loans, LearnVest can help. If you want to know how much you should put aside for saving or contribute to your retirement account, yep, they are on it. If you're a mechanic wondering how many phony clutch jobs you'll have to sell to land that 45-foot Sea Hunter Sport fishing boat, they can help. They'll create a custom financial plan and pair you with a financial planner to help keep you on track. To see a sample plan and get a $50 credit, go to learnvest.com/car. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, naturally, car repair, and something from the hate mail division.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say hate mail division.
No? Okay.
Well, let me read you a couple of letters which seem to be somehow related. Here's one.
Mm.
You know how it is, you sit there and you read your mail and you say, isn't that nice?
Mm.
We're really doing a service to the world. Mm. We're helping people.
Yeah, well, it's not the mail I get.
All right. Dear guys.
Oh. You stupid ass. Oh, that's the way you...
Not dear guys. It says, hey, guys. This is from, we can't even tell you who it's from. Bob Anderson is his name. Love your show. Been listening for years and have managed to get my 9, soon to be 10-year-old, hooked on it as well. Anyway, I think this is a great story. The other day, I had just gotten a new lawnmower and was having difficulty starting it. My 9-year-old kid walks by. He stopped. He watched me mumbling and sweating. And then he said, it's flooded, Dad. You have to pull the plug, clean it, dry it, and you might have to regap it and then try starting it then. I stopped him and I said, "Hey, what does that mean?" His reply was, "I don't know, but I heard it on Car Talk." Thought Hughes would like to know that
wow.
you are molding young minds.
Yes.
See, now that's the kind of mail.
Melting is more like
that's the kind of mail that you say that.
But that makes you feel good.
The very next letter.
Oh, okay. I had a feeling.
Guys, just wanted to let you know, you make my 3-year-old boy, Joshua, cry. We're driving along. I turn on your show. He starts to cry. I change the station. He stops. I turn back to the show. He starts crying again. Every time I try to put your show on, because it is one of the best shows on the radio,
yes, yes.
my kid starts to cry.
Yeah. Our kids used to cry, too.
They still do. So that makes
those,
you have
those
pause.
Are opposite ends. Well, kind
right.
of.
And here's one that's in the middle somewhere. Oh, that's that next. That last one was from Kevin Chase. This one's from Kathy McCormick. Before I started listening to Car Talk, I knew absolutely nothing about cars. Now, many months later, I still know nothing about cars, but I don't care anymore.
That's great, Kathy. That's what we're shooting for.
I mean, what is it? What does that all mean?
I don't know what it all means, but I like it. By the way, if you have anything that'll make my brother laugh, which isn't that hard, a glass of grapefruit juice makes him laugh, you can email it to him at cartalk.com. But if you have a question right now about your car, the number to call, write this down, 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Seychelle from Austin. How are you guys doing?
Seychelle?
Yes.
Like the islands?
Like the islands.
No kidding.
Yeah.
We don't have to ask where you got that name.
Actually, yeah, my parents traveled around the world for their honeymoon, and that was their favorite spot.
No
so I got
kidding.
The name, yeah.
And where are you from now?
From Austin, Texas.
Good they didn't spend much time in Rangoon.
Yeah. Or Spokane.
So what's up, Seychelle?
Well, I drive a 98 Toyota Camry,
mm-hmm.
and I started the car, I put it in drive, and about every 10th time or so, my car will just make a noise. It makes like a grinding, not a grinding noise, but like a sound your car would make in fourth gear sound, except my car doesn't have four-wheel drive.
Is this a stick shift or an automatic transmission?
It's automatic.
It's automatic. So you put it in D.
So I put it in D, and I start to drive, and it starts out, and it's almost like it's the engine is cold, except it's in the middle of summer, and it just drives really slowly, and then after about 20 feet or so, it kicks into normal drive.
And is the noise like this? Brrr.
Yeah, kind of. It's almost like a noise. It's like the car recalls.
You know what that noise is?
Huh?
Before I tell you what I think it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you if you've done anything as drastic as maybe checking the transmission oil level.
Actually, I just had all the fluids changed in the car less than 2 months ago.
And this has happened since then?
Right.
Since but you
then.
Haven't checked the fluid level since the noise started?
No.
Aha.
You think it's down?
Well, the noise you're hearing
right.
is the transmission grinding itself into pieces.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, isn't that good news?
That's wonderful.
But if you're lucky and you've caught it in time, you're going to have to hang up the phone maybe now.
And
run out.
And check the level, just because this is an oft-made mistake.
Okay.
That people assume because the fluids were changed and obviously refilled, then
right.
it couldn't possibly be low because
right.
it just got filled up. But that's the time to be most suspicious.
Okay.
Because that's when the mistakes are made. I mean, it hadn't been leaking when you went in.
Right.
So they changed the fluid and maybe, just maybe, they damaged the gasket when they changed the transmission oil pan gasket and the filter.
But that wasn't very nice of them.
Well, here's what you should do. You should take it to a shop.
Okay.
Not the guys you took it to the first time.
Yeah, don't go back to them. Okay.
Well, no, if for no other reason than if there's something wrong, you want to get information. What do they call that?
Unbiased.
Unbiased. Yeah, and evidence. Yeah. Right.
Right.
You want to get unbiased information from some other repair person.
Okay.
So if that person says, "Oh yeah, they damaged the gasket. You've leaked out your fluid. And you may have cooked your transmission."
Okay.
Then you may have a case against these guys
yeah.
if they refuse to fix it.
Right, right.
So go someplace and get it checked.
Okay.
Seychelle, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Y'all have a wonderful show.
I love your name.
See you later.
You too.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Oscar Lima from New Orleans. How you doing?
Oscar?
Yeah.
Well, we know you're a real native because you said New Orleans.
Actually, I was born and raised in New York City, but I've been down here 20 years.
Wow, and that's what happened to you in 20 years?
Yeah, that's right, man.
Jeez, most people can't get rid of a New York accent in 20 years.
Well, when I get angry, it comes out real easy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And how do you say the following word, D-O-G?
Dog.
Dog, huh?
Oh, you have lost it, man.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Good or bad.
When you go to a movie and there are a lot of people waiting to get in, you are doing what? Standing?
In line.
In line. You lost it, man.
You did lose it.
Because New Yorkers all...
They stand on line.
Stand on line.
Oh, yeah? Well, over here, we don't press a button in the elevator. We mash it.
You mash it? Anyway, what's the nature of your call?
Okay, it's a 91 Chevy Blazer, an S10. It has about 300,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And it's using brake fluid, but it's not spilling it out anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, one of those little pint cans, I guess?
Okay.
About every week and a half, 2 weeks, I got to fill that little reservoir up that has that little boot covering it.
Yeah.
But I checked all the wheel cylinders and everything. It's not leaking anywhere, and I know my wife's not drinking it. It's a mystery to me. I figured if anybody can find out, click and clack could.
Well, you have called the Department of Unanswerable Questions. The cover that goes on there is a snap fit cover, if I remember correctly. It's a plastic cover.
Yes.
And it just pops in.
And you push it down and you tap it down. It's got four clips. Is that thing all wet with brake fluid, the master cylinder?
No.
It's not.
Okay.
Have you noticed any difference in braking?
No, I don't drive it.
Oh.
My wife drives it.
Ah. She hasn't complained about the effectiveness of the brakes.
No, when it's low, the pedal will go down, and then she'll pull over, pop up the hood, stick the, you know, she keeps brake fluid with it and puts it in and goes on her merry way.
All right. And because you don't drive it, you're going to have to ask your wife if occasionally it runs rough.
Occasionally it runs rough.
Right, and blows a lot of smoke out the tailpipe. And here's what's happening. If there is a leak that you absolutely can't find...
It's then going through the master cylinder into the carburetor.
Into the booster.
Into the booster, the brake booster.
The master cylinder is bolted to this thing called the vacuum booster.
Yeah.
And that is filling up with brake fluid. And sometime or another, when it gets really full, and you make a turn or a sudden stop, it's possible for some of that brake fluid to get sucked into the engine and combusted with the gasoline. And it'll make the engine run rough.
And it might blow some smoke.
A lot of smoke.
Yeah, I'll have to ask, but it runs pretty good. I keep it tuned pretty good.
Oh, no, and for 99.9% of the time, it's going to run good. Here's the test. Unbolt the master cylinder. There are two bolts that hold it to the booster.
Yeah.
And pull it away and stick something like a rag in that hole. And when you pull it out, it's going to be all wet with brake fluid.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
And you're going to need a new master cylinder.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if there's really no leak apparent anywhere, then the only other place it can be is in the booster.
That sounds reasonable.
It does, doesn't it?
Okay, now if that's the problem, it's been like that for, 6-7 months or a year almost, so...
Sure.
Well, the reason you have to remedy it is that at some point... you're not going to catch it in time. And she's going to step on the brake, and she's not going to have any brakes.
Oh, really? I guess I should up her insurance then.
Do you want to apologize now, or do you want us to do it for you?
You better do it for me. Because she listens to you guys all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So if you were to drive this thing, you'd be out tomorrow morning buying a master cylinder.
Probably.
But, yeah, you should go up and buy one.
Yeah, you can do this yourself in the driveway.
Oh, yeah, I work on the car all the time. I just don't like to work on cars.
Neither do we. That's why we're on the radio. See you later, Oscar.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye.
1-888. Go ahead.
He went from New York to New Orleans, and you can see either he was born in the wrong place.
I believe.
Some people are.
I believe he was.
And he lucked out and found the right, because it's clear that New Orleans is the place for him.
Oh, I mean, he's fit right in. I mean, he's assimilated. He's got the accent. He's got the
exact
the drawl. He's
and the attitude.
And the exactly right.
Couldn't care less.
Couldn't care less. Yeah. 1-888. We care about your car, though, so you can call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Shelley from Timnath, Colorado.
Hi, Shelley. From where?
Timnath.
Timnath.
Right.
Timnath, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Boy, you know, you learn. So where the heck is Timnath, Colorado?
Well, it's outside of Fort Collins.
Okay, we know where that is.
Okay.
No, we don't really. We've heard of it.
Okay.
We don't know where it is, we've heard the name.
Timnath.
Timnath.
Right. Yeah, about 100 people live there.
Oh, 100 people.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't hear of it. Where did our educations fail us?
I don't know.
So what's up?
Are you one of those 100?
No, actually, I live outside of Timnath.
Those are the suburbs.
Those are the suburbs.
In greater Timnath.
No one goes to Timnath anymore. It's too crowded.
So you live in greater Timnath.
Yes, yeah. Greater suburban Timnath.
Suburban.
Right.
All right, anyway, so what's going on?
I have a question. I have a 97 white Ford Explorer with a little problem. A few weeks ago, I was at work and driving to go to lunch, and I had the air conditioner on. And all of a sudden, I heard like that. And I looked over, and on the front passenger side, the air conditioning vent was raining dog food. You know, the crunchy kind.
Doesn't anyone screen the calls?
No.
Can any wacko from any place in the country just...
Dog food's coming out the vent?
Yes, yes. And, you know, so I, you know, thought that was odd. And so I
is this Yukonuba? What do you feed your dog?
Well, I feed him that dry food you get in the big bags that say small crunchy bites.
Thank God you're not feeding him the wet dog food.
Yeah.
Wherever you park this thing, you have mice that are getting into your dog food supply.
Uh-huh.
And mice are great at squirreling away. You'd think they would call them squirrels if they were that good at it.
No.
But they're great at squirreling away their food stores.
Well,
so they've chosen to store it in your heating ducts. And what you're hearing is interestingly, it should be called a squirrel cage blower.
Yeah.
Squirrels
are all over this
hitting
story.
The dog food that the mice have squirreled away in your heating system. So that's going boom, 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 boom. I love it.
Yeah, and when you turn the air conditioner off, the dog food doesn't come out unless you hit a bump or a curb or something, and then it does.
Gee, you know, this makes perfect sense, but I don't think either of us has ever heard of this happening before. Because, well, I mean, there's got to be a lot of stuff in there.
Remember the guy who called us that said the headliner of his truck, he stepped on the brakes, and the headliner,
and
50 pounds of
dog food came out and hit him.
Rained down on his head.
But I've never heard of the fan actually lifting it up and throwing it out through the vents.
Well,
that's great.
So you're going to, you know what you need? Actually, on this vehicle,
it's
I believe they can pop the fan, the blower motor, and the fan right out.
Okay.
And when they do that, you can get in there with a
vacuum
cleaner.
You'll have a 2-week supply of dog food.
Well, my dog does like it. She kind of thinks it's a dog food dispenser.
Oh, yeah, no.
You know?
Yeah.
What kind of a dog do you have?
Well, he's a little mutt, and if he's riding with me and he looks hungry, I just turn on the air conditioner.
And he must be saying, have I died and gone to heaven? And
yeah, yeah.
Spitting out dog food.
Wow, this is like the cotton candy machine at the
yeah,
carnival.
That's
or
right.
Or the gumball machine.
That's
well,
right.
But you, oh boy. Well, you could just leave this. But I think what you need to do is to secure your dog food.
Right.
You need to, wherever you keep it, in the garage, I guess, huh?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, you need to do something that keeps the mice out.
Okay.
Whatever it takes.
But
okay.
Isn't it silly? I mean, there's the bag open. The mice go in, and they take it out of the bag, and they deliver it someplace else. I mean,
yeah, but they don't know the dog. They don't know that the bag is going to be there forever, because every once in a while the bag gets empty, and they say, oh.
And you think the mice are smart enough to figure that out?
No. I think that wherever they're taking it from, they know that it shouldn't be there.
They know something.
Yeah, they know they're going to put it where it feels good to them.
You know why?
You go to the
supermarket.
Dark. Do you eat right out of the push cart? When you're at the supermarket?
Shh.
No.
If you do that, you don't pay for
it. Oh, yeah.
especially grapes. You can buy 2 pounds of grapes and only pay for like a quarter of a pound.
Yeah, when you get to the cashier, how come you only have 3 grapes?
I do it at Bread and Circus all the time.
You're going to go to jail. Shelly, thanks for your call. Good luck.
Okay.
And lock up that dog food.
Yes, sir. Click.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Tommy, I can see that the stress of always being wrong is finally getting to you.
It's not the stress, man. It's the monotony that's getting to me.
Well, look, you're in luck. It's time for a short break. So I can guarantee you, you won't be wrong for the next 60 seconds.
Woof.
As long as you don't say anything.
Woof.
We'll be back. We'll be back in a minute.
100 miles an hour, taking me away, puts me in control of my highway destiny. I'm king of the corners, master of my miles. I'm rolling through this life with a cocky inner smile. Oh, I love my, oh, I love my, oh, I love my.
And even though poets everywhere wonder what rhymes with imbecile whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Hey, it's Robert and Stacey from the Planet Money team. You know, a lot of places report on the oil business.
But we got into the oil business.
We bought 100 barrels of crude oil in Kansas. We shipped it, we refined it, and we got it to your gas tank.
Check it out on the next few episodes of Planet Money.
You can find us on iTunes or NPR One.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and where you can find a puzzler this week.
What if I want to avoid a puzzler this week?
Stay put. But if you do have a hankering for a puzzler, head over to our website, cartalk.com, where we've posted a puzzler from the archives for your puzzling pleasure.
Oh.
In the meantime, we'll take your car questions right now at 888-CAR-TALK. Which is also, believe it or not, 888-227-8255. Very good.
How about that?
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Teresa calling from New York City.
Teresa?
Yes.
With an H?
No H.
No H?
No.
T-E-R-E-S-A. Yeah, I like it that way.
Me too.
From where?
New York City.
New York City. What's up?
Well, I'm calling because my husband thinks it's unsafe to wear a seatbelt for in-town driving.
He's a nut.
He wears a seatbelt for the highway, but 17 years ago, when he had his driving instruction, they told him that it was actually, if you get hit from the side in town, low speeds, it's dangerous because you're stuck there.
So if you get hit from the side...
You're not stuck there. What's stuck?
You mean trapped in the car?
Yeah, like you're stuck in the seat. Like if you got hit from the side, you weren't strapped in, you could move away from the collision.
So if you saw, for example... Remember that great scene in Marathon Man when the oil truck broadsides the Visa Engels brother? Now, if he had been able to jump from the driver's seat into the passenger seat, it would have taken about another nanosecond before the explosion reached him.
Yeah.
But your husband's theory is that if you could jump into the other seat, if you weren't constrained by the seatbelt... Then the chances of that happening and you're being able to react that quickly. How old is your husband?
32.
I used to work with a guy who claimed that he had been practicing the following maneuver. This was many years ago, and it was seatbelts weren't even around at the time. Here's what this guy had practiced: putting his arm on the seat of the top of the back of the seat. And leaping into the back seat.
Vaulting into the back seat.
His theory, when he sees that there's an imminent head-on collision, he was trained to get himself in the back seat before the semi hit him.
But if he didn't make it, if he missed by a fraction of a second.
I should tell you, this guy was otherwise crazy in all respects.
Well, I mean, I've got to admit that I like the idea. I mean, if you were going to be in a head-on collision, wouldn't you want to be in the back seat?
I would rather be lying on the floor in the back seat.
Yeah, but I think your husband, on the other hand, well, not on the other hand, like this guy that Tommy worked with, is wacko. Yeah.
Don't forget, you could always come up with a scenario in which it's better to be with no seatbelt than with a seatbelt.
We always get calls from wackos who say things like, Well, if my car ever fell off the Brooklyn Bridge into the water, I wouldn't want to be sinking to my death unable to get the seatbelt off. I'd rather have no seatbelt. And the answer, you know, to those questions is, well, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Because that's not the way you're going to die. And those kinds of accidents where you get broadsided, where you'd like to jump to the other side of the car, happen without your ever knowing they're happening. Somebody runs a light and boom, you get broadsided in the blink of an eye and you could never react. And I think your husband would be safer being belted. In fact, give him a belt for us.
And the force of the impact wouldn't push him out of the way at all. It would be.
Yeah, I think all of the science, the complete body of scientific evidence in this area supports putting the seatbelt on.
All the time.
All the time and leaving it on.
Even if you're going across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Good. That's what I wanted to hear.
Teresa, wish you the very best.
Good luck. It's going to be a tough battle for you, Teresa.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Jason Downs from San Francisco.
Hi, Jason.
What's up?
I got a V6 94 Camaro with about 153,000 miles on it. It blew a head gasket. And I don't know if, A, I should get the head gasket fixed, B, just get a whole new engine, or C, scratch the car altogether.
Jeez.
If you dumped the car, what would you get?
Something really economical. But I really do like the car.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Hmm. 25. So
you made it through the under 25 death list.
Yes, I have.
So that means you must have some semblance of rationality.
Uh-huh.
Or incredible luck.
Well, don't forget, this is only a V6.
Yeah.
This is the smallest engine.
Doesn't matter.
They put in this thing.
Doesn't matter.
And it didn't encourage reckless driving.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So you bought the car because you liked the way it looked.
Yeah.
Well, my older son did exactly the same thing. He bought a Firebird.
Yeah.
And he bought it.
Same car.
Not because he wanted to go fast. He just liked the way he looked in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he thought that young ladies would like the way he looked in the car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that why you bought it, Jason?
Well, yeah, but I've come to realize that it's a big, beautiful piece of junk. So it's not really helping me out that much.
Yeah, no, yeah. So it didn't work for you either.
Well, they look at me, but they look at me as I push it down the street. So. Not really that special.
And you had that loser thing tattooed on your forehead?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, with 150K on it, I would have to advise you against fixing this engine.
Okay.
First of all, I don't know how you know it's just a head gasket unless someone's taken it apart. It could easily be a cracked head or a cracked block. I imagine you're losing coolant or mixing coolant and coolant and oil together, rather.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if that's happening, I would say if you're planning to keep the car, you should drop another engine in.
Okay.
I mean, gently.
But on the other hand, 150K on that car is, I think, the life of that car.
Uh-huh.
If you were in love with it, you could save it. But if you're ready to get rid of it, I'd say get rid of it.
Now, but think carefully about your choice of an economy car. What's that going to say about you, Jason?
Well, at this point, I've pretty much passed trying to impress people in my life.
You have? So you've given up on sex for the rest of your life?
No. I'm engaged, though. So.
Oh, you are? You're engaged?
Yeah. Well, I guess I kind of did give up on it, huh?
Well, I would wait at least until you get married before you get rid of the car.
Okay.
Yeah, because you never know what could happen.
I mean, if you show up someday with a Corolla,
uh-huh.
That might be the end of the marriage.
No, it's better to find out now. I think you should go out and get a Hyundai Elantra.
Are they good? Oh, okay.
Well, you gotta get the car that says the most.
Uh-huh.
I am a real cheapskate, and I don't care about anything but economy, and looks have nothing to do with nothing.
Actually, I like the Hyundai Elantra. I think it's a wonderful car.
Uh-huh. It is a nice car, actually.
And it's cheap to run, it's cheap to buy, and it's got a great warranty. And if you're looking for basic transportation, that's a great car.
Okay.
Sure, and it's time to do it.
Yeah, bite the bullet. Don't fix this car anymore.
I mean,
you already got the girl, man. The car did it.
I have to say that I have always liked the looks of the Camaro as well.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, Jimmy Rockford drove a Camaro.
Actually, I think he drove a Firebird.
Doesn't matter.
Jason, yeah. Good luck, man.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barbara calling from Yosemite, California.
Hi, Barbara. Any sequoias fallen in your car lately?
Not on my car, no. But in the park.
Oh.
But not on you.
No, not on me.
You wouldn't be calling otherwise.
That's right.
So anyway, what's going on, Barbara?
Well, I'm planning a road trip adventure.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't it great? And I'm looking for a van, a used van to travel in.
Yeah.
And I love the whole VW camper van idea. But I'm wondering, unless I get a really good one, would it be more practical and less problematic?
With a maybe, Chevy.
maybe find like a modern minivan and adapt it to my purposes.
Well,
which is really, I just need something that I could sleep in and haul all my stuff around.
Well, we have to ask you some very, very important questions. And
okay.
The answers you give will shape
the answer
our answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
How long a road trip?
Well, anywhere from 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
Accompanied or unaccompanied, and dogs don't count.
Alone. I'll be mostly alone.
Alone? Would you like a dog?
I'm thinking about getting a dog.
You should have a dog.
I don't have one now.
All right. Where are you going?
I'm going to do the Oregon-California coast with little side trips into the desert, like Death Valley and the Southwest.
So what kind of a career have you had that enables you to take 6 months off?
Well, up until this point, I've worked in an accounting department, and I also run a vacation rental. So I've kind of got two jobs, and I've been working really hard.
And you saved up a few bucks.
Yeah, a little bit.
How come you don't have a car?
Well, I have a car.
Oh, you do?
I have a Subaru Impreza.
Yeah.
But
you don't
want to really sleep in that.
No.
No.
And that's not an adequate car for a road trip, because you never know. For example, you may have occasion to go through, like, the petrified forest. And how are you going to steal stuff if you don't?
Exactly.
There's nothing left.
Yeah.
It's been picked clean. Well, interestingly, just this morning, I was on my way to the radio station, and I was walking across Arlington Street in downtown Boston, and at a traffic light is a guy sitting in what had to be the oldest, most beat-up VW bus, the microbus, the very vehicle that you mentioned.
I love it.
Rust up to the windows. The paint job, who knows what color it used to be.
By Sherwin-Williams.
And I have to say, I was taken with it.
Yes.
If he would have sold it to me this morning, for my price, of course, I'd have bought it in 5 seconds.
And you would have been heading out west with a bandana around your head.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
there is something magic about that vehicle.
Everybody loves the VW, the Westphalia camper van. Everybody loves them.
You can't beat it.
Okay.
But
yeah.
You can.
Oh, yeah. You can't beat it. I mean, almost anything beats it. But if you want a truly memorable adventure,
i.e. that you will have a mind left to memorize with,
then you need to have a vehicle akin to one of those Volkswagens. Because if you get something reliable and predictable like a Honda,
yeah,
sure, you'll make it and you won't get eaten, you know,
yeah,
by Gila monsters. But you'll have nothing to tell anyone. They'll say, how was your trip? You say, it was all right.
Yeah.
Did car break down? Of course not. I was driving a Honda. So if you want something that is going to add a little excitement to it, because I have a sense that you want some excitement.
You
want stuff to happen.
She's been working as an accountant.
Yeah.
She's got to want some excitement.
God knows you need some.
You're right. You're totally right on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so I wouldn't hesitate to recommend. You need one of those Volkswagen camper vans.
Well, there's tons of them out there. I've been looking all over.
Yeah, because everyone's dying to get rid of them.
But what do you think about air-cooled versus water-cooled?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I think you should go air-cooled.
Okay.
I think you should stick to tradition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
Are you going to ever be, when you go out into the desert, that's the part of it that I'm a little worried about. How old are you?
Well.
Are you in your 20s?
No, I am not.
Want to give us base 8?
I'm actually in my 40s.
You're ready for
this is a breakout trip for you.
Yes.
You're ready for a new career, too.
You sound much younger, by the way.
I feel much younger.
You're never going to be able to go back to crunching numbers after this. You know that.
Oh, she knows.
I have a plan for that, too. I am never going back.
Yeah,
to that.
You're going to be out raising prairie dogs. I can see you out in the desert someplace.
But are you going to, during some part of this trip, be in a desert where there's, like, nothing on the road and there's nothing you can see in any direction?
When I go into the desert, I'm going to be accompanied by friends of mine who know the desert and are going to take me out there with them. I have a guide for the desert portion.
Okay.
Well, aside from recommending the air-cooled Volkswagen van,
uh-huh.
a dog is important.
A dog.
Because a dog is an early warning system. Dogs know danger.
Okay.
And a big dog would be good. Don't get one of these little things. Get a dog that would eat the truck if you weren't paying attention.
Okay, I'd love to get a dog.
Yeah, you need a big dog.
Okay.
You know, a nice Rottweiler mix.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, go for it. Barbara, I could tell... You're going to have the time of your life, and I envy you.
Thank you.
When you find this minivan, make sure you find a guy who has been working on them for at least 10 years.
And have him check it out.
And make sure you check out the brakes, the ball joints, all that stuff that could cause you harm.
Oh, okay.
And keep us posted.
Send us some cards.
Yeah, send us some postcards.
I will.
All righty.
Okay.
Have a great time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another precious hour listening to Car Talk.
Yeah.
Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug, the old gray mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Turnbridge Wells, baked stuffed shells, fresh chanterelles, nonpareils, caramels, warm pizzelles, and canned hormels taste better than it smells, long supper spells, is John Bugsy Lawler. I don't know. He's there. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Hey, Would You Buzz Off. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Tommy's memory coach is you, Sherlock Familia.
Not bad.
Our director of staff bonuses is Holly Unlikely. Our Mexican food taster is Don Juan Dos Tacos. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the rejected vice presidential hopefuls in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and of course, Don't Drive Like My Brother.
And of course, Don't Drive Like My Brother.
That's right. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1633, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our dust-accumulating clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, a great way to get rid of your used car.
Just call me, and I'll be there in no time to pick it up.
What, you getting tired of shopping at the junkyard?
Well, they want too much money. $50 for a car? Come on, that's ridiculous.
Actually, we're talking about the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. You donate your old car, and your favorite public radio station benefits.
You can check out details this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Katie Ledecky heaves her gold medals at her radio whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.